The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it is Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary and Eric. Glad you're along. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. And, you know, I began the show by saying, please, please don't contribute to these GoFundMe pages, at least not yet. Now, just a moment ago, got a call. Hey, why can't we use the money for this or that or the other thing? It's a valid question. The problem is, it's not as easy. And I know there's some good GoFundMe pages. You know, they want to raise money for the border wall, but it's not that simple. I know there's one GoFundMe campaign. I don't know. It's like $10, $12, $15 million already, started by a vet. Now, obviously, he says he's frustrated, just like all of us are, on Democrats playing with the security, sanctity, and sovereignty of a nation. I think his name is Kolfage. If that's incorrect, forgive me. But there's a hitch here. Sending money to the federal government is not as simple as just writing a check to the Department of Homeland Security and asking that it be used to build a border wall. As a matter of fact, Homeland Security can't even accept the money without the explicit approval, you guessed it, of Congress. There's a federal law that states gifts may not be accepted, used, or disposed of unless specifically permitted by Congress. So before anything, Congress has to approve it. These guys can't even figure out, can't even come up with a consensus on what to have for lunch. So I wouldn't hold my breath on this. Before anything can happen, Congress has to approve it. A policy analyst at the Cato Institute took a look at this, saying, man, is there any way around this? No, there's not. Congress probably wouldn't reject it. It's just getting them together to do it. In its policy, this policy came up in 2007 or 8, I don't recall specifically, but the Department of Homeland Security allows officials to accept and utilize, in other words, use, to DHS aid or anything that would facilitate their work if it's approved beforehand. So gifts, here's the rub, gifts with conditions attached. Now, if you just want to throw more money at the government, I'm sure they'll find a way to spend it. But if it comes with a condition attached, like money specifically slated for a border wall, they're prohibited by federal law to even accept that. It has to be reviewed by the Office of the General. Well, you know what the federal government is. I mean, the policy that was issued allows officials to keep and use gifts, but it has to be reviewed, has to be okayed by the Office of the General Counsel. So much of this policy is wrapped around. I was talking with someone off the air. The reason they did this was out of ethical concerns. And it was trying to stop outside money from swaying the agency's decision, or any agency. Congress wants that control over what money's being used and for what purpose and going to what agency. So you don't have money coming in from unknown places influencing policies. Now, I understand it, but it'd be nice. I started to say it'd be nice if we could do this. It might make us feel better, but at the end of the day, do you think the federal, be honest with me. Do you really think the federal government needs more of your money for anything, including a border wall? I don't. Let's go to Jack in Dallas, Texas. Jack, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Jack?
Doing good. Thank you, Mr. Roberts, for letting me on today.
You bet.
Yeah, you know, we have been screaming from the housetops. You took some of my thunder earlier about the school system, and they're not really teaching our kids anything. And they've come and told me this. But we're screaming about this, one of the promises that Mr. Trump did make, who is President Trump now, about the E-Verify.
Right.
Make that an executive order first thing, and let's make it to where illegals, because we've got 90 million American citizens out of work. Our military vets are on the street. We got a lot of messes to clean up here first before we need to be helping anybody else out. I mean, you're not going to spit in the face of 90 million people and tell them their money's running out because we're taking care of people that don't belong here. I mean, they're going to have a weenie roast on the ashes of your home. I mean, you know. So let's take care of our problems here first. And I agree with pulling our military out of Syria. Let's bring our military home and sweep the nation and clean up our mess here first. Let's straighten out Mexico. And, you know, let's clean that problem up on the southern border, because I'm over here in Texas and I see a lot of this coming in. And let's care about our citizens first, like Trump spoke about. But let's fix 90 million Americans, our military vets who aren't taken care of at all. And, you know, our kids aren't being taught any history in school, so they don't understand. It's not their fault. We got to get rid of this false curriculum that are brainwashing the poor kids, and then they eat this Antifa foolishness. It used to be if people came along like that, the police would beat them down if they started beating up other people just because they had a different point of view. That's crazy stuff. And the police would take care of idiots like that quickly. But when we have governors or police chiefs that don't want to take care of our citizens and it's like they're not following the law, well, remove them immediately and put people in there that'll, you know, you don't get to beat up people because they have a different point of view. Talk it out. Find out what's true and what's not. But people that do that should be cleaned off the streets quickly, brutally. You got to teach them an attitude adjustment. Do it. And
no,
if they're too stupid to learn.
And
let's take care of our mess here. Let's bring our troops home. Let's clean up our mess here, secure our borders. We don't need them in these Muslim countries. And the fact that we're bringing in people that in their countries, they're attacking Christians wholesale and killing them, guess what? We're going to send y'all home until we get our mess cleaned up here. Show us evidence you can act like human beings toward people that have a different religion, because you've got no evidence yet. And let's clean up our mess here first. And we got a lot of messes here. And I'm not interested in anyone coming over here illegally. As a matter of fact, I'd push them all back across the border, and you don't get to come here. E-Verify would clean that up. But let's take care of our citizens first. That's 90 million people. I can't even wrap my head around that. And let's take care of our people first. Let's get manufacturer back here like Mr. Trump is trying to do. Now, he's not Hollywood. He's a terrible speaker. I love Trump. I love what he's doing. He's doing great things. But he needs to hire someone who's eloquent like Ronald Reagan was or whatever to give out his speeches. Trump is a great doer. He's not a great speaker.
No, there's no doubt. Well, they said the same thing initially about Reagan. You know, this guy's not a politician. He's a B movie actor. He works, does movies with chimps. He doesn't know anything. Well, in very short order, he earned the title the great communicator because, number one, he did communicate. He talked with people. He had a conversation. He wasn't a professional politician that spoke over everyone's head, and he ended up being one of the most beloved presidents ever. But let me go back to something you said. You know, I'm oftentimes criticized in email and interviews and such. Well, he doesn't care about anybody but himself. He's a nationalist. He's this. He's that. Here's my bottom line. I realize that all countries are obliged to take in so many refugees. That makes sense. We're a big-hearted people. We're a benevolent people. We give money to countries that absolutely despise us. But, don't talk to me about increasing the number of refugees until we don't have any vets living under the bridge, sleeping out in the cold at night. We don't have any more vets in need of psychological or physical medical help. We don't have any more vets standing in line eating at a soup kitchen. They held up their end of the bargain, and by God's grace, they got back here in one piece. Some need physical help. Some need psychological help. But I tell you what, as long as one vet is sleeping under an overpass and having to get a hot meal at a soup kitchen, no, don't talk to me about increasing the number of refugees. I'm not cold-hearted at all. But again, if you can't be what you promised to be to your own people, then you can't be anything to anyone else at all. So when we no longer have veterans that need help and a place to sleep and something to eat, once that's wiped out, yeah, come back and talk to me. Let's talk about increasing the number of refugees. And as far as the 7,000 Central Americans at the southern border, we've already got activist judges and democratic socialists saying, no, it's not fair that they have to wait in Mexico. Well, wait a minute. You know as well as I do, as soon as their foot steps on American soil, the whole game changes. Because then they have certain rights that weren't available to them on the Mexican side. I mean, come on. Stop treating us like five-year-old children. We know better. No, I'm not cold-hearted. I want every child's belly to be full when they go to sleep someplace warm. But you've got to take care of your own country if you're going to be healthy enough to take care of anyone else's. And by the way, stop sending money to people that live, to countries that let their people live in abject poverty. I was so glad to see that we got out of NAFTA, or as I called it, CRAPTA. I mean, again, why are we doing business with countries that absolutely leave their people nothing to live on? Does that make sense to you? Sure doesn't make sense to me. It's just common sense, or I guess is what's called now uncommon sense. This is Rick Roberts, and this is Red Eye Radio.
In winter weather, your drive tires can be a big factor in keeping you safe on the road. Drive tires put in serious work to support your truck, provide stability, and to give traction and braking force to the road surface. As with other positions, drive tires should be inspected regularly. Routinely check your inflation levels based on your load. Also check for wear patterns and for cracking and bulging. Drive tires can slip because of the torque applied from the axle, resulting in more exposure to damage from cuts and tears. Lastly, make sure your axles are aligned and if necessary, have your tires balanced and rotated periodically. Before you hit the road for your next route, take the time to inspect your drive tires. If you have any doubt in their ability to handle the road ahead, stop into a TA Truck Service to talk to one of our tire experts.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. With the exception of tomorrow, I'll be with you all week long. After the third, I'll be back in my normal slot. You can find me at News Talk 820 WBAP. I do the afternoon drive 2 to 5. And if you want to listen to the show, you can go to WBAP.com. All right, I want to get to your calls. I want to get as many in as I possibly can. I don't really care what the congressmen have to say. Don't care what the senators have to say. If Trump wants to say something, I think we should stand still and listen. Otherwise, you're the one that makes the difference. Lee, where are we here? Lee in Raleigh, North Carolina. Lee, you've been very patient. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I just love when you fill in for the guys.
Well,
it's great.
Thank you.
What I wanted to talk about was Nancy Pelosi. I'm talking about the wall. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Obama and Clinton, when they came out and said that they were for the wall and everything. Well, the reason that they're not for the wall, in my opinion, now, is because it's going to come true. Mr. Trump is going to get that wall built, and what do they have to stand on now? Nothing. Their security blanket is going to be gone. What are they going to talk about? Climate change?
You know, I wish I had that with me, but I've got those recordings of Schumer, Pelosi, even Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
and they're saying
yeah.
almost verbatim the same thing that Trump is saying.
Absolutely. Yep.
So
I just think now they're really running scared, just like at that meeting at the White House when she was saying that Trump wouldn't get the votes in the House because nobody'd go along with him. And then she was proven wrong. Well, that shook her. It really did. But I can't understand why everybody's treating her like she's the head of the House now. And she's not even been voted in yet.
Well, she feels that she's got the votes for that. But, you know, the one thing about that meeting that really stuck with me, I think it really pulled the curtain back on Democrats. Trump was sitting there, I don't care, talk about anything. They got cameras rolling and reporters in there, and you could tell, you learn in law school, courtroom mechanics and body language and all that. Schumer's on the edge
yeah.
of his seat, his hands are clenched, he's rocking back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And Pelosi, do you remember when she said, well, I don't think we need to be talking about this here in public, we'll do that in private. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
why? You work
they're
for us. Why not do it in public?
They're scared of President Trump because they know he's going to do what he says he's going to do, no matter how long it takes. Because when he gets something that he's going to do, he's going to find the way to get it done.
Well, I'll tell you what they're really afraid of. They're afraid of Trump, yes, but they're absolutely shaking in their boots because of the American people.
Amen to that one.
And that's
yep.
that's the way it ought to be. Getting ready for a big
yes.
Christmas?
Yes, sir. We sure are. It's going to be a blessed one. We got great-grandchildren and 3 and 1, and so you know it's going to be a hot time under the Christmas tree.
Well, Lee, Merry Christmas, and I'll look forward to the next call. Thank you so much. We got time. Yeah, let's go to Dennis in Idaho Springs, Colorado. Man, it's beautiful there, by the way. Dennis, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Dennis?
Well, I'm doing okay, Rick. I appreciate your sitting in tonight, and I appreciate what you bring to the airwaves, and I hope I can add something to the conversation. Your previous callers are fantastic, great ideas. I'm a Christian. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm 72. And the dumbing down of America and turning America, not all, but those people that have turned into weaklings who don't value what this country is and what we stand for and the price that was paid is unconscionable to me. It's very upsetting.
I agree.
And the fellow that called in about the fireside chats that Roosevelt had, I've called the White House comment line for years. I started calling when George W. was in office, when he came across television and said, well, we can't round them all up, the illegals. I called him up. I said, the heck we can't. We have to do something. And I would encourage your listeners, and I've encouraged other people, to find out what that comment line is. They're willing to take your comments. I've called ever since George W. was in, and I don't curse, I don't threaten, I just say it like it is. And I've told that comment line to tell the president to get on the air, buy that television time, talk to the American people, just like you were talking to the previous caller about the meeting with Pelosi and Schumer.
That's what we've got to do. That's what the president has to do. Forgive me, I got to step aside, but you're absolutely right. This is Rick Roberts in for the guys on Red Eye Radio.
happy holidays. Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be in for the guys when they're away. Let me get right back to your calls. I know a lot of you have been very patient. Aaron in Fremont, California. Aaron, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. How you doing, Aaron?
Hi, Rick. It's always good when you're on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to put a punctuation on the Pelosi situation. She said, after she said, shut the cameras off, it was a classic. She said, we're going to be the most transparent Congress ever.
Yeah. We're going to be like transparent, but man, let's not talk about this in public.
Yeah. So, you're going to believe her. So, okay. So there's a couple of words I never, read in the Constitution. That would be comprehensive and omnibus. Now, I want to go back to when maybe at some time they just voted on individual issues one at a time without all the horse trading.
Right.
And I think what the president should do right now is, well, he should not vote for any leftist issue to give any money for anything ever for 2 years. That's it.
Yeah.
He's got the power.
No, I think, look, I think you're right. I think the problem, I mean, there, it's not just they don't like the guy. It's not a matter of, well, our legislation is butting heads. It's the fact that they, I mean, you mentioned Donald Trump. It's an absolute visceral reaction. They will not do anything if it means painting Trump in a good light, even if it's bad for you and me.
It almost seems like the president doesn't know he has the power. You know, I think it was Jackson, the President Jackson, the Supreme Court ruled against him. So he responded by saying, okay, so let's just see you and try to enforce it. So what he should do is take all these, whether they're in Mexico or here, take all these migrants, put them on a barge, send them back to Honduras, and say, okay, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to arrest me, impeach me, do what you want to do. Yeah, see you in 2 years.
Well, here's the thing. Well, let me use Dallas for an example. Robert Francis O'Rourke, of course, he blanketed the state with his Beto signs, B-E-T-O. Most people didn't even know he was not Hispanic. And I took issue with that. The people that stood in line, that came here the right way, that happened to be of Hispanic descent, they're not stupid. Just like the Democrats, you know, for a half century, they got the black community to believe that, hey, if you vote for a Republican, you'll be back in shackles. You don't want to do that. Well, they're not buying it anymore. They're not buying it. So they had to find another constituency, and they believed the Hispanic community was just dumb enough to believe everything they said. Unfortunately for them, the Hispanics are not stupid. If they stood in line, waited their turn, did what they were supposed to do to abide by the immigration law, they don't like illegal immigrants even more than you and me. Listen, good call. Merry Christmas, by the way. And please, please don't be a stranger. Let's go to Julio. Julio, thank you for waiting. Julio's in New Jersey. Julio, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I just want to talk about the government shutdown. I believe that government officials, congressmen, and senators should also not be getting paid as well. Because at the end of the day, if they're not doing anything, they aren't essential workers as well for the government.
I agree. I agree.
I also like to point out.
So, wait a minute, before you go on. So, why are they getting paid?
Well, they're getting paid pretty much because they feel like what the work that they do is essential. You know, they take advantage of the system. Look at Paul Ryan. He's the physical hawk. He's over here. He did less than 25 years in Congress, and now he gets to retire $100,000 every year. He gets secret service. He gets health care, great health care for him and his family.
No, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I agree with you 100%. You know, at some point, the American people have to take their country back.
That's true. That's true. I'd like to also take a point here and mention, you had a caller recently that was talking about how illegals take care of the, take advantage of the welfare system. And I hate to say it, but, you know, in most cases, it's not true. My parents came here illegally, and they gave my father a tax ID number. He paid taxes throughout the 5 years that he was working here, never got a dime back from the government, never got Medicaid, Medicare, never got any welfare, you know? And it's just sad that they tell these people that there are immigrants that are taking advantage of the system when it's, in most cases, it's not like that, you know? And you got money to, people got money to fund this wall, to do a GoFundMe page, but they won't, you know, pony up the bill to pay a little bit more so they can get health care for everybody.
Well, look, here's the thing. Illegal immigrants that go through the process and they become citizens, they hate what's going on more than anyone else, because all of a sudden now the government is giving them the back of their hand, and it's not right. Democrats are willing, you know, I keep saying Democrats for descriptive terms, they are, for all intents and purposes, they're socialist, and socialism is only the rest stop on the highway to communism. And I don't see how anyone that pays attention cannot see that. We are at a juncture in this nation's history. We're either going to go the way of Venezuela, or we're going to try to pull back some semblance of what this country used to be. Now, look, we're probably the most benevolent country on planet Earth. Trying to help people wherever we can, you know, that such thing as an unholy alliance. A lot of people will ask me, they'll say, why do we give money to so-and-so or this country or that country when they don't like us? Well, an unholy alliance is when you befriend someone that you want to keep out of the hands of someone else. We did the same thing with Osama bin Laden, believe it or not. You know, you don't want to create a vacuum that's generally filled with something more sinister than you're already dealing with. So, you know, I understand that concept, but you don't make your own people pay for it. You know, Democrats, you're going to have to put up or shut up. You know, this is our president. If you're a Democrat out there and a voting Democrat, tell me one thing that your party has done for you in the last 2 years except fight Trump. You can't, because they haven't done anything. Good call. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you. Let's go to, is it Elrod? I guess it is, in Atlanta. Thank you so much for waiting. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you, Rick. It's great going to have you on all week long, pinch hitting for the guys.
Well, it's always
Can't
a pleasure.
Wait.
Always a pleasure.
I want to go back to your fireside chat. It is a great idea, and President Trump has two outlets for doing this, and he should use them simultaneously. He needs to use NPR and GPB-TV.
Okay. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. All right.
National Public Radio and government-provided television, both of them at the same time. They are government funded, and they're always begging for money, both of them, and they're run by liberals and Democrats. And if he were to do that to them, there would be so many people who would get their feelings hurt, it wouldn't be funny.
Now, the media, and I've been a part of it now for 26 years, the media is a very incestuous business. As much as they will work hand in glove with the Democrat socialist, you know, trying to ignore anything done by this president or the administration on our behalf. If, you know, if he were to come on their television station, their network, they'd fall over themselves trying to sell him the time. They'd do it in a heartbeat. And I truly, you know, I'm too young to remember fireside chats, but I've read about it. I mean, if nothing is out there but fake news, which I'm here to tell you, as somebody that deals in this business, fake news is a real thing. If he realizes his message is not going to be reported or reported accurately, then do it yourself. A couple of times a month, once a month, whatever it is, and say, you know, this month, this is a list of what we've done. And then touch on them, briefly give a description, and move on. You know, it'd be pretty hard for the Democrats to come up against that, I think. I mean, absolutely. Good call. I appreciate it greatly. Let's go to Darby. Darby in San Antonio. Darby, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Darby?
Great, Rick. Hey, man, I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to, I was thinking about this, you know, the GoFundMe thing, and I'm like, well, okay, wait, the government can't take it, but why can't that money be donated to the private ranchers to build their walls, I mean, build a wall on their property? Is that not legal, or?
Well, look at Texas. You're in Texas, and that's right. Where I broadcast during the day. I think our border with Mexico is, what, 1,250 miles? Is that about right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's about 1,250 miles. That's a lot of wall. That $5 billion that Trump is asking for, that only covers about 230 miles of wall. So there's a lot of money that would have to be raised. Then, I mean, some places on the border, it's as far as the topography goes, you couldn't build a wall. So, you know, this is my position. Man, we send enough money to Washington, D.C.
Well, I got you on that, but...
You know, I mean, when it comes to making tunnels under the highway for turtles and all the other port projects, you know, it's about time they start paying up. It's about time they realize who they work for.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. I was just thinking about that GoFundMe page is all, and I was thinking there's no reason that a private rancher couldn't take that money and build, at least start building sections of walls anyway.
You know what?
Anyway, that was just an idea.
I wouldn't have any problem with that at all if you could get everybody on the same page. Listen, Darby, Merry Christmas to you and your family. I mean
Merry Christmas to you, Rick. I really enjoy your show, bud.
Thank you very much. I mean, he's right. I mean, anything you want done, and you want done economically, you want done in a timely fashion, you want done with quality, the private sector always outperforms the government. You know that. I know that. And they know that. They're just pretending like they don't. This is Rick Roberts. And this is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Welcome, Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Always a pleasure to be in when the guys are away. You know, I started thinking about this. You know, it seems like Christmas time, the first of the year, all of that. We're trying to start things anew, and you know, I don't mean to be maudlin about it, but the 2020 election is literally. In the political time frame, a whisper away. You know, and we've only got one more chance to get this right. And I know some of you absolutely detest Trump. Well, it can't be for what he's done for the country. It can't be what he's done for you individually. It's got to be for some other reason. And I'd ask you to examine that. And if you could tell your federal government, and it is your federal government, if you could tell them anything, and because that's what this is for. Talk radio is for talk. If you could tell your federal government, I know it starts at a city, county, state, and finally a federal level. But if you could tell them anything other than, hey, you work for me, I don't work for you. Somehow we've got to turn this around. You got to get the message out to those people that, well, quite honestly, don't have the life experience to figure this out. I mean, we've got people in this country, whether it's the open border crowd or the open socialists like Ocasio-Cortez in New York. I mean, I got nothing against bartenders. Lord knows that. But she just knocked off somebody that had years of experience. She doesn't know anything. You got to stand up. You got to stand up for your country. The question is, what would you say to those people that want to, listen, fundamentally change this country forever? I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And thank you so much. Listen, if you're wanting a list of stations where you can hear Red Eye Radio, maybe the podcast or even listen live to the full five-hour show, you can do it on our app or on the Listen Live button at redeyeradioshow.com. I'll give it to you again, redeyeradioshow.com. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. I keep getting a ton of people saying, hey, we should be able to do this. We should be able to crowdfund. Okay, let me just say this, and I'll get right to your calls. In 1885, the Statue of Liberty was in pieces in a warehouse in New York. It was paid for by the government of France. It basically was a diplomatic gift to the U.S. But believe it or not, the U.S. couldn't even raise $250,000. They were trying to find, you know, a pedestal, preferably granite, that they could set this thing on, you know, to prominently display it. Now, $250,000 then is equal to a little over $6 million at today's prices. So it was no small thing. So there was this group called the American Committee of the Statue of Liberty, something else. They said, okay, we'll raise the money. But then they fell short by, I don't know, more than a third. So New York governor at that time was Grover Cleveland. He rejected the use of city funds. He didn't want to use any money out of the city budget to pay for it. And Congress, as they couldn't agree on a funding package then in 1885, just like they can't agree on what to have for lunch today. So what happened? It seemed like New York had run out of options. You may know this name. He was a publisher back then. His name was Joseph Pulitzer. Pulitzer Prize? There you go. He decided to launch this crowdfunding campaign in his newspaper, which was, at the time, was the New York World. And the campaign eventually raised the money from more than 160,000 private citizens, including little kids, businessmen, you know, janitors, politicians. More than three-quarters of $250,000 was raised by donations of less than a buck. It was a big deal. And, of course, I've heard people, and I'm yelling at my radio, say, well, we can do it just like they did. No, you can't. There are federal laws in place now that limit private donations that come with a condition so as to not allow private individuals and their deep pockets to sway the federal government, and it's still corrupt. So, please, hang on. I don't want to see anybody get scammed. Hang on to your money. If Congress comes out and says, okay, we approve crowdfunding, then it's a different story. Then you can say, okay, here's my $5, put it toward building the wall. All right, as promised, let's get to your calls. Jimmy, and I'm not sure where Jimmy's calling from. Jimmy, how you doing?
Hi, Rick. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I just want to say real quick, and I'll hang up. Can they take that money and buy up land along the border and donate it to the government with no stipulations or anything, hoping, you know, that, but that's one less thing they'll have to do. But they don't. We don't need a wall down the entire border here in Texas. You put a 200-mile wall in a high-traffic area, they ain't going to like hiking through the Davis Mountains or the Chilaquiles or anything. You know, you put it in the high traffic area, and when they come around the ends, it's a lot easier to nab them there than it is, you know, just having a full 1,200 miles open border with, you know, drones or whatever that BS they're wanting to try to sell us.
Yeah, here's the thing, and a lot of people, sometimes you got to take people by the, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but sometimes you got to take people by the hand and walk them through the steps. Just like when Trump said Mexico's going to pay for the wall. I am still amazed that some people, especially on the left, well, the president of Mexico says he's not paying for it. Well, it doesn't matter what he says. He will. I guess they thought the president of Mexico was going to come up and open up his checkbook in the Oval Office and say, okay, how much do I owe you? That's not the way it works. I'll tell you in just a second how it's going to work. But you're right. You're right. You don't need a wall through the entire border area. I think in Texas we've got 1,200-1,300 miles of border with Mexico. Some places are impassable. You can't get across if you want to. But this is, you know, it goes back. You have to have people willing to work on an issue, and the left, the socialist left, hiding behind the moniker of Democrats. It wouldn't matter if Trump said, I'm going to give everybody $1 million. They'd be against that, too. So, listen, Merry Christmas. Good luck trying to get the message out. That's what I do every day, and I appreciate it. Lynn in Fremont, California. Lynn, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Lynn?
Hi, it's Fullerton, California.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. This is the first time I've heard you. You are terrific. First of all, you have a great radio voice. You are terrific. I agree with everything you said. I share your concern for this country. My parents came from a communist country legally, never took a dime from the government, and from Ukraine. And, you know, I just heard an elected Democrat on your news a little while ago say that they were interviewing him, and he said emphatically, we're giving zero. Democrats are giving zero for the wall, zero for the wall. So I think that President Trump should have an address to the nation from the Oval Office and tell them, because not everybody watches Fox News or listens to conservative radio, to know that they are giving zero. And yet, because this man said, well, we give to this program, people will be, poor people won't have their money, won't have their food, this and that. And yet, it's going to cost each taxpayer $70,000. I mean, the taxpayers are going to pay $70,000 per each illegal alien per year that come over here. They find billions of dollars for Planned Parenthood and all other kinds of crap that they pay for, and yet they won't donate to this. You know what? I have never seen in my life such hatred for this, for a president, for a man. It's amazing that he's holding up under all of it, because, you know, the hate is just, it's palpable, and they won't do anything. They don't want him to succeed, and I agree with you. You can't say the word communist, but that's what they are. They're not socialists, they're communists, and they hate him because he's changing their plan a little bit. And also, if President Trump wasn't, I'm sorry, I feel so passionate about this. If President Trump were not elected, we would not know about it. The Hillary stuff, you know, her collusion with the Russians, they're accusing him. It's just outrageous. It's so frustrating that I could scream, and you are terrific. I wish you were in Southern California. I agree with every word that you uttered on your show today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Well, I was in Southern California for 16 and a half years in San Diego at KFMB, which is a great station, by the way. I did fly back and forth from Texas and Oklahoma to there, but it's, you know, luck. Here's the thing. the way I see it. When a Democrat comes out and says absolutely nothing, I don't even want to talk about a wall, forget a wall, it's too expensive, it's inefficient, it won't work, blah, blah, blah. Well, tell that to Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. Tell that to some of the biggest Democratic leaders we've got. They've all got walls. You know, walls are not 100%, but at least it will slow the flow, the tsunami wave of illegals to the point where, number one, they won't die trying to get here, and number two, we'll be able to do what we're obligated to do for the American people, which is vet these people that want to come across. I don't think you want MS-13 living next to your grade school. I don't think you want human smugglers or more dope smugglers in your neighborhood. Lord knows we've got plenty of those. The government is obligated to protect the security, sanctity, and sovereignty of a nation. Well, it doesn't happen by accident. There's a process that they have to go through. So what is it? Let me just point blank ask everybody. When a Democrat, whether it's Chuckie Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or Elizabeth Warren or Cortez or Robert Francis, I want you to think I'm a Hispanic, Beto O'Rourke, or anybody else, when they say not one dime going to that wall, what does that tell you about them? What does it tell you about them? Have they offered up other solutions? No, they have not. Have they offered, and by the way, Republicans don't get totally off the hook here either. There's been plenty of time to address the southern border issue. Nobody's done it. You know why? Because you haven't demanded it. That's why. And finally, a non-politician gets in office and says, okay, this is nuts. We're not doing this anymore. They're not going to do it. We don't have the kind of money it takes to support the world. We don't have the kind of money it takes to eradicate diseases that we stamped out in this country back in the 50s and 60s, starting all over again from people with different cultures, different hygiene. And I'm not slamming anybody's country. I'm just saying you can't be everything to everyone or you end up being nothing to everyone. So what does it tell you when you hear these Democrats say, nope, not talking, not doing, not nothing? Well, then why are you there? Ideally, with these two parties, you're supposed to, you know, hash your differences out. And when the dust settles at the end of the day, every American, whether they have an R or a D in front of their name, is supposed to be served. I don't see these people doing anything. And are they up there right now trying to hash it out? No, they're at home for the holidays. Does that make sense? They're your employees. Did you tell them to go home? I didn't. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Most farmers harvest their crops once a year, some three or four times a year, but for a few producers, it's nonstop.
We grow year-round.
And harvest year-round. That's Megan Klotzbach. She's with Mother Earth Organic Mushrooms, a fungus farm in Pennsylvania. Now, of course, mushrooms are generally grown in buildings in the dark. They grow very fast. They can double their size overnight in some cases. And so, by necessity,
we harvest every day except for Christmas Day. We give them a break.
What happens to those poor little guys on Christmas Day? Nobody comes to get them.
Well, our growers still come in and check on them. We change the temperature a little bit to slow the growth so that we're not growing too fast that day. But, you know, it's definitely not ideal for them, but it gives our harvesters the day off.
Which I guess they desperately need. So for mushroom growers, Christmas Day is still a work day, but the big job of cutting the mushrooms, processing them, is put on hold for that one special day of the year. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio, and that includes you. This is Rick Roberts, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's always a pleasure to be in for the guys when they're away. And this ended up being really good for me this time. I normally do afternoon drive, 2 to 5 Central Time for News Talk 820 WBAP out of Dallas. And it just so happened I had this this week off, holiday week. And when I found out the guys were away and I was asked, absolutely, always jump at the chance to join you on Red Eye Radio when I can. And if you want to find me after the 3rd of January, I'll be back in my normal slot, 2 to 5, on WBAP. If you want to listen, you can go to WBAP.com. That's WBAP.com. Before we get too far into this, I wanted to mention something for people that maybe, I mean, look, you got kids, you got work. It's hard to stay up on the news, especially when you can't trust the news, right? But all this teeth gnashing and hand-wringing and, oh, my gosh, Mad Dog Mattis is leaving. Just another example of people jumping ship on the Trump train. Okay, settle down. Defense Secretary James Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, said the transition to a new department head is going to go pretty smoothly. Now, what the liberal fake news media didn't tell you, oh, can you believe this? The defense secretary is leaving. Oh, my God. It's Trump. Okay, first of all, slow the roll there. He was already leaving March 1st, 2 months from January 1st. All right? I don't know what it is about people, but, well, if Mattis is there, everything's going to be okay. You can't take that tack. You know, as long as it's somebody that knows what they're doing. And he said, hey, the president deserves a defense secretary whose views are better aligned with yours. And said he was worried about the way the president treated American allies. Look, all of that's opinion-driven. Because Mad Dog Mattis was at the controls, it was not a reason to sleep any better. As far as Trump pulling out of Syria, I would ask him to take a look at what happened when Bush did that and then when Obama did that. I hope calmer heads prevail. Let's get to your calls. By the way, I've been remiss. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Let's go to Ralph in New Jersey. Ralph, thank you for your patience. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Feliz Navidad to you, and you know what that means.
Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas.
And as far as, radio personality from the past, and he's no longer with us, okay? And we can say, oh, blessed memory at this point in time. You remember Tom Mars? You kind of remind me about
What's his name?
Yeah, Tom, T-O-M, Mars, out of W-V-A-L, in Baltimore, Maryland.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
You probably know him.
The name is familiar.
Yeah, he comes out of the WBAL in Baltimore, Maryland. But, you know, you said something about border security and we don't have the political will immediately after 9/11. How about looking at the lesson learned from 9/11, Rick? Okay? And the lesson learned for me is this, okay? If you are here illegally, your right to stay here ends where my security and safety begins. That's a red line that I draw in the sand for you, okay? And as far as President Trump is concerned, he, you know, there are some, in some ways he could be like Reagan. In other ways, he falls short of, you know, being a Reagan in the way he communicates ideas, okay? But to most people in this country, it's not about how you talk, but what you deliver. And you said it in a plain-spoken manner, Rick, being that you are a man from Texas. Action speaks louder than words.
I agree. What do you do? Let me ask you this. What do you do? What do you do when the people of America don't know what he's been able to accomplish? Because the mainstream media certainly isn't going to report on it. They're not going to tell you anything that he has done that is worthwhile, that benefits the country, that benefits the American people. Listen, I appreciate the call very, very much. Feliz Navidad to you. Merry Christmas. I'm Rick Roberts. Now your national forecast.
Flying is number two on how most people will travel for the holidays. Over 100 million people are driving for the holidays, almost a 5% increase over last year. And nearly 50% of all crashes involve bad weather. Reason enough to prepare for winter driving? AAA recommends an emergency roadside kit, blankets, drinking water, snacks, flashlights, and a shovel. But many of those won't be needed this Christmas Eve. The lower two-thirds of the nation will be high and dry. I-10 from L.A. to Jacksonville. The Midwest and Mid-Atlantic all dry. A mix of snow and rain in the Pacific Northwest and Northern California and portions of Northern Nevada. Chicago's high today, 36, a low tonight going into Tuesday of 29. For Dallas, sunny, upper 50s. Bethlehem, PA will have a low of 32.
Happy holidays. Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be with you. I just realized, tonight's Christmas Eve. Where have I been? As a matter of fact, you're right. Today's Christmas Eve. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. Let's go to Frank in Woodward, Oklahoma. Frank, I appreciate your patience all the way out the panhandle there.
Yes, well, thank you, Rick. And Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
And I've got a couple of issues or points to make.
Sure.
One of them is that over the last 40 years, we have aborted north of 60 million babies of our population. We've aborted between 60 and 80 million of our children in this country.
Right.
The very people who were pushing and funding and campaigning for and writing laws for abortion are your socialists.
Well, that's
is responsible in the last century for killing approximately 225 million people in wars and dictatorships. But regardless, the 80 million that we've lost in this, as far as population in this country, it's a vacuum. It's created a void. And the very people who campaigned for and pushed for abortions are the very people who are beating the drums to let all these illegal aliens in, these undocumented non-citizens in, and supporting them and paying for them. And one issue that is not really talked about too much, but people who escape a socialistic economic and government system, they always run towards capitalism. And as soon as they get to the capitalist economic society, they start voting for socialism again.
Yep.
But regardless, it breaks my heart that they've aborted, you know, between 60 and 80 million babies in this country. And then here we have to replace them with people who aren't loyal to America at all.
Well, first of all, let me say this about what you've said. You know, many people have said, Rick, why don't you talk about abortion? Because it's a vicious circle of dialogue, no beginning and no end. I don't believe in abortion. I don't think it should be used as a form of birth control as it is now. I mean, that's a pretty serious thing. At least it is to me. You know, whether there are medical reasons or things of that nature, you know, that's for other people to decide. But, you know, when they start referring to abortion as, well, Republicans don't support women's health care. What? Since when is aborting a baby women's health care? I mean, to me, I'm a wordsmith, and I have trouble getting my head around that. But I think the problem that you're having is you're putting value on human life, where politically they are a means to an end. As I said earlier, Democrats slash socialists, they look at, well, if you look at the history of racism in America post-Civil War, they talk about the great societal shift from Democrats to Republicans. It was no shift. There was LBJ in the Civil Rights Act, where he said, through his autobiographer, I'll have those N-words voting for Democrats for 200 years. He was almost right. But at the end of the day, they viewed them as a commodity. They view illegal aliens as a commodity. You know, the black community started to wake up and going, wait a minute, you've been promising stuff for 50 years. We keep voting for Democrats and nothing changes. So, no, I'm sorry. The black communities aren't falling for it anymore. They're not that stupid. The Hispanic communities, they're not falling for it anymore. They're not that stupid. And if the illegals stick around long enough, they'll realize they're being played, just like the Democrats have been trying to play the blacks and Hispanics and the more uneducated of us. Some way, somehow, because you're black or Hispanic or you don't have a degree, they just feel, well, you'll follow suit. No, they won't. You know, you don't have to have a college degree to figure out when somebody's playing you. And that's exactly what the Democrats have been doing. As far as the illegal aliens, they're not here to replace anybody other than the groups, constituencies, and communities that the Democrats used to have a lock on. They don't have a lock on them anymore, so they have to replace those voting blocks. That's what they're doing. I mean, if Democrats really cared about human life, number one, they wouldn't be funding abortion mills where abortions are given out as like a birth control pill. That's number one. Number two, they wouldn't be encouraging people to make a trek from Central America to the U.S. border. I mean, do you know how many people are dying out of this caravan or just disappearing? There was one report. One guy escaped. A truck was stolen with about 70 women and children in it, and they were sold. They were sold to some people out in the desert. The guy got away and said, I don't know where they are. Well, they've probably been sold again. If Democrats really cared about human life, that wouldn't be happening. They would say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't be making this trek if you're a woman, because you're going to be raped at least twice, if not three or four times. Or a child, as we just saw that, what was she, six or seven? She died. And, of course, Democrats are trying to make political hay out of that. They don't value human life the same way everybody else does. Well, Rick, how dare you say that? Well, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Why are the socialist Democrats funding abortion mills? Like I said, I'm not for abortion as a form of birth control. If it's a medical issue and somebody's going to die, you know, that's for doctors. That's for somebody else smarter than me to figure out. But they wouldn't be doing that. They sure wouldn't be asking people to risk their life and the lives of their children to get here just so they can get to register them as Democrats and vote. I mean, come on. And Republicans, there's some blame to go around there, too. I mean, it's not as though your hands have been tied for the last 30 years in securing the southern border. So, you know, let's be honest with each other. If we need to do something, let's do it well or not do it at all. Let's go to Enrique in Artesia, New Mexico. Enrique, thank you for your patience. Oh, and by the way, Merry Christmas to that last caller. How you doing, Enrique?
Just fine there, Rick, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this border wall, and Trump said he was going to pay for it. I'm just giving you a suggestion of how it can happen.
Oh, I know it can
happen. All these illegal aliens that come across the Border Patrol has got to feed them, nab them, jail them, or put them in the detention, get their fingerprints, their names, their home and town. This is a perfect way of you've already got all the information that you possibly need to send the bill to Mexico. They should be sending the bill to Mexico for all these people that are apprehended up here without documentation.
Well, and by the way, look, there's nothing that says Mexico has to pay that bill, but do you know how much money the country of Mexico receives each and every year from Mexican nationals working here?
Well, I don't
it ranges,
really have an idea, but
it ranges between $24 and $25 billion. And I'll tell you what, you bring up a very, very important. I've been promising it all evening. I'm going to do it because of your call. When Enrique has just put me in mind again, for those people, well, he said the Mexicans was going to pay for the wall. What's going on? It's not happening. Okay, I'll tell you exactly how it's going to happen. And by the way, you don't have to have a degree in higher math. Let's see, you get $24 billion a year. You got to pay $5 billion as a down payment on the wall. That still leaves you with, $19 billion. So you're going to give all that up? Of course not. I mean, let's round it off. You get $25 billion a year, cost you $5 billion for a down payment on the wall. What are you going to do? No, I'm just going to eat that $25 billion. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's pretty easy. I tell you what, Enrique, you put me in mind of it again. When we come back, I will tell you exactly how Trump will get Mexico to pay for the wall. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is Director of Product Management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Always a pleasure. Want to get right to this. I told you that Mexico is going to pay for the wall. Well, let me tell you how Trump's going to do this. A provision of the Patriot Act, Section 326, Know Your Customer provision, it basically tells financial institutions to demand identity documents before opening accounts or doing any financial transaction. It's a pivotal part of this. You know, that section authorized the executive branch to issue detailed regulations. And I won't bore you with all that. But Mexico either makes a one-time payment of $5 to $10 billion, or all of a sudden that $24 billion that they get into their country year after year is in jeopardy. I'll tell you how. Day one. A proposed rule, regulation really, amending 31 CFR 13121. It redefines financial institutions, what they're supposed to do, to include money transfer companies like Western Union. It redefines account to include wire transfers. Also includes on the proposed rule a requirement that no alien may wire money outside the U.S. unless the alien first provides a document establishing his lawful presence. All right? That got their attention. Day two, Mexico's immediately going to protest. But again, don't forget, they receive $24 billion a year in money from Mexican nationals working in the U.S. The majority of that amount comes from illegal aliens. It serves, really, it's a de facto welfare for poor families in Mexico, because in Mexico there's no significant social safety net like we provide here in the United States for poor people. Day three, you tell Mexico that if the Mexican government will contribute the funds needed to the U.S. to pay for the wall, the Trump administration will not enact the final rule and the regulation will not go into effect. Trade tariffs or enforcement of existing trade rules, you could do that. Also, visa fees. Even a very, very small increase in visa fees would pay for the wall. That includes fees on border crossing cards. They issue more than 1 million of those a year. Canceling visas. Immigration is a privilege. It's not a right. I'll say it again. Immigration is a privilege, not a right. Mexico is totally dependent on the United States as a release valve for its own poverty. Our approval of hundreds of thousands of visas to their nationals every year, that's one of our greatest leverage points. Don't make any mistake about that. All right. I mean, I could go on, and maybe I'll do that next time we get together. Listen, this is Christmas Eve, and I'm not trying to run it down your throat, but it's Christmas is uniquely a Christian holiday. It's celebrating the birth of Christ, which those of us that believe. So I wish nothing but the best for you and your family. I hope you have a great, great Christmas. And yes, you can still believe in God and have Santa Claus. All right? Just don't try to blend the two. It doesn't work very well. I hope you get what you want for Christmas. I hope your kids are happy and healthy. And God's blessings on each and every one of you, whether we agree or not. That's always my priority every time I hit that mic light. My thanks to Alan and Brian. They always make me look good and make this job so, so easy. Guys, have a great Christmas. That's going to do it for me. We'll be back again Christmas night. How about that? I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.